Welcome, and thank you for listening to this research review brought to you by RRS Education. Integrating contemporary research into your practice and patient care is a huge task and important responsibility. RRS Education helps busy clinicians save time, stay current, and improve patient care by providing concise, unbiased, clinically relevant reviews of important research, online courses, and informative seminars. We do the work for you, extracting important clinical pearls from the massive amount of published research, rationally blending contemporary evidence with your practice realities. Sit back, relax, and listen. And now, the CEO of RRS Education. He is a practicing clinician, international speaker, research geek, knowledge transfer, and opinion leader. Here, once again, is Dr. Sean Thistle.
Hello, and thank you for joining me for this research review written by Dr. Jeff Muir. The study title is Return to Sport Decisions After an Acute Lateral Ankle Sprain Injury, Introducing the PASS Framework, an International Multidisciplinary Consensus. This is truly a multidisciplinary global author group in the sports medicine world coming to us from Australia, Norway, Qatar, Denmark, and other centers around the world. And this paper was published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. Lateral ankle sprains are among the most common sports-related injuries, although they are often thought to be relatively minor and quick to heal with minimal intervention. Perhaps owing to this perception, evidence indicates that over 50% of those suffering a lateral ankle sprain do not seek treatment and may return to sport prematurely before their injury has fully healed. One study showed that up to 75% of U.S. high school athletes returned within 3 days of injury and 95% returned within 10 days. Ultimately, this could be just fine for many athletes, but it could also be too soon for others. No criterion-based guidelines informing treatment decisions following lateral ankle sprain exist, with a recent systematic review unable to identify any studies providing return to sport guidance, and a review of expert opinion unable to define consensus on assessments or cutoff thresholds for return to sport. The lack of treatment guidelines is thought to contribute to premature return to sport, which itself is thought to precipitate recurrent ankle problems, which are all too common in many athletes. The goal of the current study was to develop a consensus for assessment items that should inform return to sport decisions. We'll go through their study methods first. A 3-round Delphi approach was used to canvass a panel of experts. Items not reaching consensus after 3 rounds were left undecided. So who were the Delphi panel participants? They included health and/or exercise professionals proficient in English and working with top-tier athletes, think Division I, English Premier League, and so on. Those working in field or court sports where acute lateral ankle sprain injuries are common, and/or involved in return-to-sport decisions for athletes. Individuals covered a wide variety of sports and geographic areas in order to draw panelists and expertise from worldwide practitioners and sporting activities. Data collection consisted of online surveys with closed and open response questions. Panelists provided yes, no, or unsure, I don't know responses to the inclusion of an assessment item and provided reasons for their choices. Consensus was deemed to be reached if greater than 70% agreement was achieved. Panelists were given 4 weeks to return responses in each round. They were informed of items that did not reach consensus and the proportion of respondents that responded yes, no, or unsure/I don't know. Following the second survey, consensus items were mapped to domains provisionally and then presented to the authorship team for consideration and agreement. Regarding their data analysis, level of agreement was calculated for each item. Content analysis was performed on themes from the open response questions. Themes were categorized following discussion among 3 researchers, 1 female and 2 male physiotherapists. On to the pertinent results of this Delphi study. Regarding the expert panel participants, 250 invitations to participate were distributed. 198, or almost 80% response rate, was received, and that's pretty good. completed responses for round 1 numbered 155 or 78.2%, while for rounds 2 and 3, there were lower but still satisfactory response rates of 88.4% and 76.8% respectively. Demographics of respondents across the different rounds were similar and not significantly different. Of 35 assessment items presented to panelists, 16 reached consensus with over 70% agreement to be included in the return to sport decision-making process, while 17 reached consensus not to be included. First, we'll go through the list of consensus items for inclusion in a return to sport decision in a lateral ankle sprain injury. The experts deemed the following to be important for this decision-making process: sport-specific activities, pain severity during sport participation, ankle range of motion, ankle muscle strength, hopping, agility, completion of a full training session, jumping, pain severity over the last 24 hours, perceived ankle reassurance and confidence, proprioception, perceived ankle stability, psychological readiness, ankle muscle endurance, dynamic postural control and balance, and finally, ankle and lower limb muscle power. Those were the items that the expert deemed for inclusion in the return to sport decision-making process. Now on to the factors that did not make the cut according to this group of experts. First, and interestingly, was structural integrity of the ligaments on imaging. Next was pain severity over the last week. Contrast that with the item that was included of pain severity in the last 24 hours. Next was pain severity on palpation, which might surprise some of you as I think this is commonly used in clinical practice. Other items not included as important factors in return to sport decisions were health-related quality of life, hip and knee muscle endurance, ankle muscle length, the functional movement screen, aerobic fitness, anaerobic fitness, ligamentous laxity, which I also found interesting, ankle joint arthrokinematics, acute chronic workload, lower limb and or trunk kinematics, hip and knee muscle strength, foot biomechanics, and finally, straight line running speed. Based on the assessment items reaching consensus to be included in return to sport assessment, 5 domains were established as follows: pain, ankle impairments, athlete perception, sensory motor control, and sport or functional performance. This was acronymed to PASS, P-A-A-S-S. 99% of these expert panelists agreed with these domains. Now on to some comments on the PASS domains and the items. Regarding items to be included in the assessment, panelists felt items that directly influenced sport-specific function and or contributed to risk of injury recurrence were most important. The athlete's perception of their own readiness to return to sport and perception of their ankle status were also deemed to be very important. Items not reaching consensus were excluded if they were considered not to influence return to sport ability, like ligament integrity or laxity and pain severity. Foot and lower limb biomechanics and patient-reported foot and ankle function scores were also deemed not sufficiently sensitive to properly assess return to sport. Items involving a longer time frame or time away from sport were not deemed necessary, and finally, items that would be highlighted or assessed in other included PASS items, like ankle muscle length or joint kinematics, would be appropriately evaluated when assessing ankle range of motion. Under clinical application and conclusions, based on the responses of expert panelists in this Delphi study, the authors concluded that return to sport for acute lateral ankle sprain should be assessed based on pain severity during sport participation, ankle impairments, the athlete's perception and psychological readiness, sensory motor control, and sport and functional performance. Interestingly, ligament laxity and pain severity on palpation were not included in the list. These two factors are commonly used in clinical practice, I would say. As a final note from me, this was an appropriate methodology for investigating this topic, drawing on the expertise and experience of a global, multidisciplinary team of experts who are actually involved in this decision-making process. In the absence of a sufficient amount of high-level evidence on which to base such recommendations, this paper certainly adds useful information to the literature on this topic that is so full of nuance and individual circumstances when these decisions must be made, of course. Returning to sport after an acute ankle injury is something that most of you listening have probably dealt with yourselves, or at least dealt with for your patients over time in your clinical practice. And this paper certainly adds some useful information for us to think about when structuring these decisions. Under study strengths and weaknesses. First, under strengths. There was a diverse geographical, sporting, and professional representation on the panel of experts. The three-round Delphi survey process allowed for a greater likelihood of consensus, and this was a clinically relevant study in an area lacking such a document. Under weaknesses, no athletes were included as panelists. This was an odd exclusion. Thus, the study lacked their perspective. It would have been interesting to have some athletes there. Further, items for assessment were recommended, but no specific methods or clinical tests for assessing those items were suggested. And finally, while many professions were represented, the majority of respondents were physiotherapists, potentially skewing the results, but ultimately physios are the ones that often deal with these injuries the most out in the real world. I don't think that's a major drawback of this study. This study should potentially help us frame our decision-making process a little more clearly when thinking about return to sport for an acute lateral ankle sprain injury patient. Remember, as this study outlined, according to expert opinion from around the world, the patient's perception of their own readiness and abilities are important in this decision-making process, over and above things like palpation-based tenderness and ligamentous laxity, which have been used traditionally to base this decision upon, in my opinion. This literature helps advance our thinking and will keep you posted as more important work emerges in this area. We'll leave it at that for today, however. Until next time, stay current, work hard for your patients, enjoy your practice, and don't forget to take care of yourselves. I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening. If you have any questions about this review or suggestions for future topics, please contact Dr. Thistle by email, Sean@rrseducation.com, or via Twitter at Dr. Sean Thistle. For more information on RRS Education's weekly research reviews, online courses, and informative seminars, visit www.rrseducation.com.